Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio with his columns, Columness and Happiness and Holidayness. Welcome in, Nestor.
Well, almost famousness last week, at least with the rock and roll stuff. But a quiet week around here, Dan. I finally finished my column. I've been working real hard on Santa, you know, and, you know, the elves and all that stuff. End of the year for me, the Ravens are usually in it, right? And it's usually relevant. We have purple lights up and there's some sense of, like, you know, most years they have a chance. Like, in, I don't know if Philadelphia's been that way lately. Pittsburgh's used to that. A lot of places like Atlanta coming in this week, and they don't think of Christmas Eve around, like, football the way we do. Moving our plans around all holiday weekend because of this, right?
Now, this is very true. Let me ask you a question. Is there a chance that we've seen Lamar Jackson? We're not going to see Lamar Jackson in a Ravens uniform again. I mean, things aren't going well. He didn't practice this week, and crickets at the castle. If you and I are his agent, I mean, what's his upside for playing against the Steelers or the Bengals or the rest of the season, risking further injury? He's going to make $4 million in the next three games, whether he plays or not, Ness. And is it worth it to him to risk injury by playing in these games?
Man, that's – then why do you want him on your team?
No, I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
You know, it's amazing for me. Like, I went out to get some food the other night. On Wednesday night, I went out. So I'm home. It's Christmas. It's quiet. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of people out, a lot of people in cars, a little different than the plague was 2 years ago. Right. And I sat at the bar and I went out in Perry Hall. I went to Conrad's.
Now, were you at the end of the bar? Coach Harbaugh said, were you one of the guys at the end of the bar or at the middle of the bar? What part of the bar did you sit at?
You know, I don't know when I have it. Like, see, you say that as a fan. I'm a guy that knows him. You know what I mean? Like,
I know that, but a lot of people got their feelings hurt. I wasn't one of them. You know, I get it. So I have rhino thick skin. If you know me well enough, and it's just funny how many people got triggered by that comment. But if you're looking to get triggered, that's what happens to you.
Well, would you want your head coach saying that if you own the team?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay. Well, then fair enough, right? So there is above the bar, and I'm using his terminology, above
decorum,
the bar,
right?
Below
decorum,
the bar.
Decorum. It's one thing to say to block out the noise, right? That's we get that. Leave it at that, right?
Look, I'll say this. There is a real benefit in this organization to the stability they've had, right? The way it's been run. You know, you and Don Mohler and all, we would all agree that Steve Bisciotti, model owner, Harbaugh, Dick Cass, Eric, Ozzy, all of that, right? You know, I don't know that you rest on that reputation. They're 9-5, right? So how much can you kick them when they're 9-5? But I would say this, and this is the benefit of being there, and probably the same thing would be said for Tomlin or for Belichick or Peyton in New Orleans for all the years he was there, that when you have stability, there's the stability of John Gruden. I have a $100 million deal, so here's my middle finger. Deal with it. And Billick had a little of that at the end too. Hey, I have a contract. I'm safe. I'm good. Right. Mm. And then there's the point where Mike Peters from The Alarm wrote a great song called Unsafe Building. Declare yourself an unsafe building.
Wow.
So great lyrics. You can go read that. He's a leukemia survivor, but he wrote that when he was a kid. So everybody feels safe out there except Lamar, except the players, right? Like, Greg Roman's going to get fired, right? Mike McDonald, he's John's guy, and John's not going anywhere, and John's good, right?
And the defense is playing well. And they have pieces, but the defense is not the reason why this team is losing. They're holding teams.
Is it Eric being the village idiot that he can't draft a wide receiver, or is he the village genius for dealing for Marcus Peters, for signing Calais Campbell, for figuring out Houston and JPP and signing Roquan Smith and doing all that he can do in that way? But we sit here all day and beat him up about the wide receivers, right? Because it's obvious that they're not going to go win three football games in January as comprised right now.
See, right? Here's the deal with long-term people stability. There's a lot of things that can set in, right? Familiarity is a killer in a lot of different ways. It's not shiny. It's not brand new. The excitement, the enthusiasm perhaps isn't there. The sense of I made it, I got it, you know, I have enough money. The problem with that, Nestor, is people are always looking at you, people that work for you and with you, and they're looking, are you getting better or are you getting worse? And that's what they're looking at. That's because we don't stay the same. If we're staying the same, we're getting worse in not just our eyes, but everybody's eyes. So that false sense of security goes away if you're not looking for ways to always get better, to always be sharp, whether it's your language, how you speak to people, how you treat the media, how you treat your players, and how you conduct yourself.
Is that Death of a Salesman or Glengarry Glenn Ross? Which
I don't
one?
Know what it
Can
is.
Can we have a double feature, you and me, one day? We'll just get together, popcorn, have a few drinks, enjoy ourselves, maybe in cinematic, and sit and watch Death of a Salesman and Glengarry Glenn Ross and see what we can learn about life.
And you can't let you can't let your tenure and you can't let your money change who you are at your core. You know, that freshness, that excitement, whether you're Coach Harbor coming into the castle the first day on the job. And I'm not saying he's lost that. What I'm saying is you have to respect it. You have to be grateful for it. You have to appreciate it. And you can't get conceited. You can't talk down to people. You can't dismiss. You can't be dismissive of the media. You know, the media is a big deal in the U.S. these days, whether it comes to censorship and freedom of speech or whatever. You've got to conduct yourself a certain way, not just when you win. When you win, you can't say I love everybody. And when you lose, you just shut it down and take your football and go home.
Well, it is amazing. I have communicated with John Harbaugh in the last week. It wasn't pleasant in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh situation.
Okay.
Off the record's off the record and is what it is.
Understood.
But the integrity of all of it, and me being a guy that's been a monkey sitting in the room in there with my little reporter's notebook, and if he says it, it's got to be true because he said it. He lies a lot, the injury thing this week. And I got into this with the bartender at Conrad's the other night because he said the same thing to me, like literally making me a drink. And I get recognized by all sorts of people in the bar. There were 20 people in the bar and five of them came up and said nice things to me. I didn't shave. It's literally like I'm checked out. My wife's gone. Niels is in America. So, you know, the man who saved my wife's life, they're running around New England this week. But the first thing he said to me is, have we seen Lamar play for the last time? And I'm like, is that what 105.7 said? Like, I haven't thought that. Like, I haven't. I have not thought that he's – dude, if he doesn't play, why in the world would they give him $200 million? Like, everything
again.
I would have said would be true in regard to this is why this kid can't be your quarterback if he can't play Christmas week and if he can't be healthy in December. And how is he ever going to be healthy in December? He runs into linebackers. Like, so if Eric has come to that conclusion and Ozzie's come to that conclusion and John's come to that conclusion and Steve's come to that conclusion, and they have nothing invested in him other than his image, his legend, leaving him alone with the WTFs and the calling out Chris Sims while his guys are practicing and the holding the sign up and the Twitter online, whatever that was. If they're done with him and he's done with them, then throw the towel in on the season. Let Anthony Brown go fight to the Wolves. Get the 16th pick in the draft. Deal him off to Tampa or whoever, you know, whatever. That's an ugliness, Dennis. We've never seen this organization endure, right? Like, that's never had. Didn't happen to Ray Lewis. Didn't happen to Ed Reed. Didn't happen. Even the players they parted with and dealt or free agented out or ushered out or – they don't do ugliness. They do ugliness with media. They're trying not to do it with me, but they're going to need to make me dead. They're going to need to disappear me to have me ever think it's okay that they can get their ass kicked in Cleveland. And I listen in on the post-game press conference that I've been sitting in. I know the room. I know the way. I could find it blindfolded. I could find that interview room. And there's two reporters in there. Two. I heard Jonah Schaefer and I heard Jamison Hensley. There was nobody else not on the Ravens payroll asking questions. And I'm thinking to myself, what have you become? Like, and then end of the bar stool, right? What it is he's safe, right?
Yep.
He's safe. John is safe. Eric is safe. Sashi is safe. We all know Chad Steele's safe, right? Just ask him, right?
Yeah.
So this is how they behave. And the league is in on the gambling part of this and who the quarterback is and how it moves Las Vegas. And billions of dollars are getting moved on John Harbaugh being dishonest to the media, that what's left of the media.
Speaking of the,
I'm sorry, I'm lost my mind.
No. A lot of meat on that bone. You just dissected, but talk about the gambling aspect of it. We all saw the Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders. First, he gets mugged in the end zone, but was even more egregious. He's talking to the referee and he's asking, "Am I on the line?" And the referee says, "Move up." he moves up and a referee flags him for being over the line. Under what universe is this proper? And as you always say, people actually put money on these games. It's broken.
It's
like the WWE. It really is. At least
over
with the WWE,
last month
you know.
And a half.
It's
everybody
insane.
I know, I see them on their phone. They're making bets in bars. I'm
crazy.
Out.
It's like, crazy.
And betting on stuff they don't know anything about the World Cup. They're just betting on it. It's like it's a horse race, right?
Crazy.
And I bet, right? And I sell lottery tickets, and I'm okay with all of it. I really am, except the part where they're being dishonest with the information. I said to the bartender at Conrad's the other night, I said, Dennis, you and I could do this out back. Mr. Coons doesn't need to know in the FCC. You and I get a little dice game in the alley together. We control the dice. We control who plays. We control the rules of the game. We roll the dice. We blow on the dice. We declare the winner. We own the referee. We own the game. We own all the action around it. When what universe would, like, is that not Bugsy 19th, like literally, that's what they're in on now. And I'm thinking all Harbaugh cares about is how it affects his ability to play the game in under dark circumstances. He wants as little information out as possible. And I don't know that that's in alignment with fair play, literally fair play, right? Fair information to the public if they're going to be gambling on this. Like I we're in a different world, and I've never had to talk about this before, but it really does make me scratch my head when he sits there and lies, and it affects the value and the outcome. It almost like faking a stock, you know what I mean, like that in my mind.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even look at this press conferences anymore. I see the sound bites, the clips on Twitter and whatnot, and sometimes I comment on them and sometimes I don't. But if you've seen, it's like a Bill Belichick presser. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. It's coachese, for lack of a better term. They just throw these things at you and hope you go away. It's what it is. It's smoke mirrors. Don't bother me. And that's really only after a loss. He's much more talkative after a victory when he's loving everybody.
Well, I go back to 20 years ago, and every coach would have been told by every Kevin Byrne, and believe me, I don't think Kevin Byrne's a saint, but I mean, he was a professional, and he would say, you're talking to the fans, Brian. You're talking to the fans, Ted. You're talking to the fans, Marvin. You're talking to the fans, Ray. You're talking to the fans. Talk to the fans. Goose knew he was talking to the fans.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And every time I speak to Rod Woodson, and I saw Rod talking about the death of Franco Harris when I'm sitting in the bar eating some cream of crab soup the other night in Perry Hall, I look up, there's Rod Woodson talking. He's just the best of the best on the field, off the field. Saw him at Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago in the press box. There's just a point where the bar has been lowered all the way around. And it's lowered by safety. John Harbaugh's made $100 million doing this gig 15 years later, and he feels like he has a gig for as long as he wants, as long as Steve owns the team, I guess, because I don't think Steve wants to – didn't look like Steve liked going out to hire a coach. That Steve,
no.
If Steve were fast to be hiring a coach, he would have hired another one by now, right? Like, I don't think Steve wants to go through another coaching search or an Eric search or a management search. I think Steve's on a yacht and likes playing with his football team and wants it to go well and crosses his fingers. And if Chad, if you say Nestor's no longer media, you go fight with them. Just hope he doesn't bring lawyers. You know, like, I think that that's where Steve is in his world.
You know, after John's latest presser, I looked up his contract and I saw I was curious to see how long he signed for. I know he got the extension last year, so he signed through 2025. I can't see Steve Bisciotti paying two coaches should he decide to move away from John. I think he bites the bullet, even if he wants to move away from him through 2025. And and maybe we see a new head coach for the Ravens in 2026. And I've been a Harbaugh fan for a long time, but I do think there's a point that you have to keep getting better. And you can't, when he said, I'm not on the play call deal, then what deal are you in? If you're not,
he told me he's not on the press credential deal either. Although the other head coach got me in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and every Kevin Byrne I've talked to across five sports, 15 of them said, Harbaugh and DaCosta are in on this. They could be. They can't not be. So for them to not be in on it behind the scenes with you, they're liars. They're frauds. And they should be treated as such moving forward. And then I hear this end of the bar thing that doesn't stir me up or you up. Yep. It stirred up everybody else.
Yes, you know, I can't tell Jim Koontz I'm not on the sales department deal. I can't tell him I'm not on the service department deal. I can't publicly fire a customer, tell him to go buy a car someplace else. There's certain things that I can't and will never do as general manager of this organization. So to me, it's no different. You know, for him, not is he on the let's take a timeout and then have a delay of the game penalty deal? I mean, what deal are you on? At what point do you start putting your foot down and saying, this is my ship, you work for me, you're going to do it my way, and I'm involved in every aspect of it during game day, not just during the week of practice.
Well, and I think, and I wrote this in my first book, right? Everybody's a hell of a winner, right? Everybody.
Everybody. It's everybody.
When you're at the locker and you've lost the playoff game, and I've seen Lee Evans stand in that locker in Foxborough, right? And I've seen other players run out the back door. You know what I mean? I've seen Billy Cundiff come seek me out 3 years later to sit and talk to Baltimore, to talk about how he felt about, you know, losing, you know what I mean? And what it meant to him. And I know it means, that's why you don't throw me out, John, right? Like, that's why you don't throw me out, Chad, because I am on the inside. I'm not a maniac about fire Greg Roman written in red rum details littered on the front steps of Owings Mills. There's security cameras there everywhere, right? Let me tell you a little story. So back in the day when Steve bought the team, Dick Cass came into the organization, and you remember this because you sponsor our tech service. I always got the schedule before anybody else. Mm-hmm. No one ever knew where I got it. I never really got it out of the building. I didn't get it out of the Ravens. Dick Cass shut down their entire email system when I got the schedule to try to rat out who gave it to me. This is one of his first acts coming in as Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And he could have been the commissioner of the league, right? So he had a FBI, CIA sense. His final official act was throwing me out in May. Last time I sat down with him, he tried to get me to say out loud that I didn't want to be a media member anymore. I just wanted to sit in the stands and pay them for the right to sell my $10 seats on an 18 degree day on Christmas Eve. So I would just, you know, I would say through all of this and understanding what they go through out there and what their security looks like, they know exactly where those papers came from and who wrote them and who left them. There's cameras everywhere. I've been in that doorway, right? So, like, this is – John looked ashen last week, right, after the victory, right? So it was Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Like, it looks heavy for the whole organization, and they're 9-5. That's the thing I can't get out of my head. They have a chance. They're in the tournament.
The feel, it's not 9-5. The feel is of a 5-9 team going nowhere. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's the feel around. That's the vibe around here. That things aren't well. That we are the worst 9-5 team in the history of the league. And back last year, 8-3, it was the same feeling. It was a false 8-3. And when Lamar Jackson went down, the wheels came off of the Ravens' cart.
Well, there could be some authenticity in coming out in front and saying, hey, man, we're doing this in bad condition. I mean, John's good at that, right? John deflected everything. Have you seen the league? The league's crazy. You know, look over there. Look over there. Not here.
Yes. Did you see Sammy Watkins? They said, you know, well, how do you feel about being back in Baltimore? He says, I have a job. It wasn't like, you know what, I have a job. It wasn't like, look, this is great. You know, I'm glad I'm back with the Ravens. Can't wait to get out there and make a play up front. He says, I have a job, right? It's a job. It's not a passion. It's not a career. I have a job.
It's going to be 18 degrees out there Saturday.
I'm here. I'm going to block my ass off for J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, maybe Justice Hill, right? I want to get two passes thrown my direction. And I'll probably drop one of them and the other one's going to be overthrown or underthrown. So, yeah, yay, I'm going to this offense that I'm going to be used as blocker. Run deep, Sammy. Run deep 30 times and you might get one look your way.
Turn around and see the pile of dust behind you.
God, oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know,
and the vapor trail of Lamar. So let's go back to the beginning because, like, look, I don't know what they're talking about over at the sports leader where they don't have it. They got my seat in the press box, by the way, which didn't offend me or anything. The notion that Lamar won't play, like, let's just play this out, that he's so hurt that he's got 3 more weeks of not being able to go play, right? And let's play out an 18-degree day with a kid that doesn't like the cold. Muscles don't like the cold. I know that. Injured muscles really don't like the cold.
What
right?
about Anthony Brown? Didn't he play at Oregon? Because Oregon is a cold, cold place, right? Even when the weather is good.
Well, Utah gets cold too, right? I mean, you know, I've seen what's going on.
Okay, that's a good point.
Well, I would just say, and it's not even about cold weather, warm weather, or anything like that. It's just more like, okay, so Lamar will play next week against Pittsburgh here, right? Or maybe at Cincinnati? Or, and if he doesn't, if he's 75% next week, you playing him or you not playing him? You holding out for Cincinnati? Are you trying to see what else happens? You beat Atlanta 9-6 on a 29-yard field goal by Justin Tucker after Marlon Humphrey or Patrick Queen strips up. I mean, that's how this game's going to get won this week, right? I mean, it's 18 degrees, Dennis.
Like, it'll feel like 7, though, according to the weather forecaster. So I may be sitting this one out. I may be watching this one from home versus the stands. A good possibility I don't even go to the stadium this Saturday.
Most important, where do you get your quote NBA-80s? I need to know.
My mother makes them. Right. Or my aunt. My uncle's wife. So my quote I'm getting is homemade.
All right, man. I'll bring the eggnog over and the spice, a little leftover ham, you know.
That sounds good.
But I hope you have a beautiful. By the way, you have a great sweater. For those who are only listening to this on the radio, you're really getting cheated out of your Santa Claus catching a fish.
Oh,
is that a big bass?
It's
what is
a
that?
Bass. It's a largemouth bass. Yep, you got it. So I'll post it maybe at some point today. But Nestor, I want to wish you and your family, your beautiful family, you know, a very Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that good stuff.
You know, all the people that have told me to stick to sports over the years, exact opposite. I have not gone in that direction at all. But it is fun to just sit here Christmas week when it, much more so for me than in March or April or May or June or, you know, where we are. This is the real measurement, right? Like, they're 9-5. They have a chance. They were constructed to be good enough. They're not really good enough right now. Like, this is a great time to be engaged with sports. And, you know, the World Cup was great. I mean, it's just – but this is for this city and everybody's hopes and putting it all forward. It's felt heavy on Coach Harbs this week. It really has. And I think you see it. I see it. The Barstool comments, the Greg Roman stuff, his players doing whatever they want out on Instagram, the team not being good enough. It feels really heavy for them. And it feels like something weird's going to happen there in the next 6 or 8 weeks with Lamar, with money, with management. It feels really comfy and cozy, and it's not going to feel comfy and cozy the morning after they get eliminated. And I think we're all in agreement. I bet whatever I have, they're not winning the Super Bowl right now, right? Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure they're not winning the Super Bowl. So whatever that Monday when Bisciotti used to do press conferences, remember back then, when there would be accountability for whatever it is, you know, this is going to be weird because the injuries, it's very easy to say our quarterback wasn't available. We couldn't win, right?
100%. Literally. 100%. Yep, you got it. All great stuff, Ness. Looking forward to reading your column, Ness column, and all that great stuff.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.
You got it. There he goes, Nestor J. Aparicio here at 1570 AM, Baltimore Positive WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.